Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Philip Collins, and he's written a number of very provocative articles about what's really going on in the world, about the use of symbols, and about how symbols are really used to influence what we believe and how effective thought control methods are. Philip, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
In fact, I read your article there in the Paranoia magazine. Sounds a little way out, and yet some of the ideas you bring forward in that and your articles certainly on the other issues on Darwinism and socialism are well worthwhile. So where would you like to start?
Well, if you like, we can start with basically the semiotic deception of 9/11, if you like.
All right, let's talk about the semiotic deception of 9/11. And I really was so taken with what you said, because there in the article you mentioned that they kept playing over and over again that morning as we sat in shocked disbelief at our home of the picture of the Arabs, Palestinians celebrating the attack on America. And they showed it over and over and over again, and then you point out that was old footage. They just threw that in for the impact on the American people.
Absolutely. Well, basically, the footage that you just mentioned, when they played it on NBC, it was accompanied by a title card reading "Earlier this morning," but we later on learned that it was actually archive footage, and that NBC was forced to confessed that they had committed a breach of ethics. But the juxtaposition of those images of the Palestinians in the West Bank dancing and rejoicing juxtaposed with several other symbols and signs presented on 9/11 and prior to 9/11 helped to basically create a semiotic mirage. It helped first off to impose upon the events of 9/11 a narrative paradigm of good humans against evil foreign invaders or aliens. And basically this began years earlier with several films such as Independence Day and Starship Troopers.
They were the aliens that were attacking.
Absolutely. And the narrative paradigm in those films was basically a binary opposition of good versus evil, good humans against evil aliens.
Well, isn't that the way it is now? It's the good Americans against the wicked Arabs?
Absolutely, and that's basically the paradigmatic template that the power elite managed to impose upon September 11th. And
are you suggesting that we're being manipulated by somebody working behind the scenes who are creating our reality?
Absolutely. I mean to also suggest that what we are seeing is basically semiotic warfare through signs and symbolism.
I see. And now, of course, the word semiotics is not something that's widely known to our listeners, but when we get back here with Philip Collins, we'll talk a little bit about this whole idea. In fact, there's a story. It's called The Da Vinci Code. And of course, there's this fellow, Mr. Langdon, who is the hero of the book, and isn't he an expert in semiotics? Philip?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. The character in The Da Vinci Codes is actually a semiotician.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And with us this afternoon is Philip Collins, who's a young man. He and his brother have written books and articles together. And Philip has written some very, very provocative material. And I just sort of wanted to open the program with how images are used to create a reality. Those of you who are listening to a program, many of you will remember when they were killing Terri Schiavo. And, of course, day after day, we would see the pictures of this girl there, you know, and, of course, her mother would be leaning over, and her cheeks were rosy, her complexion was good, and she was starving to death, but they would tell us how comfortable she was, and the lawyer for the husband would come on and say, "Terri is just so peaceful," and then they'd show that picture on the screen, not telling her those pictures were shot many months beforehand. In fact, you were not allowed to see pictures of what was really going on because they had barred any photographers from going in as, of course, she dehydrated, as her complexion became gray, as her cheeks became sunken, as her cheekbones began to protrude, as her skin became dry and brittle. But the picture you saw, night after night and afternoon after noon, on the news with pictures taken a long time ago, but in your mind, you honestly believed that that was what was going on, you see, and nobody told you that those were old pictures, and television is such a powerful means of controlling our reality. And of course, Philip, our guest today, was just talking about on the morning of 9/11. Those of you who can remember, as I do, that we saw over and over and over again the picture of the Palestinians dancing in the streets, you know, celebrating the attack on America. Now, the film footage had come out of the archives. It was very old footage that had nothing to do with 9/11, but the perception in our minds was created for us by the people who were controlling CBS and NBC and ABC. They were creating our reality. And that really is bothersome, Philip, because, you know, we should be able to see the truth. How often do we really see the truth? How often are they creating our images for us?
Well, nine times out of ten, if it's in the media, chances are it was something that was meant to be there. And nothing really that takes place in films or TV is hardly ever accidental. Most of the time it's all pre-arranged, all orchestrated, so as to reinforce particular paradigms, particular belief systems.
Hold that thought right there, and
sure,
we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Philip Collins. And of course, if you so often will watch the headlines on an article in the newspaper, has nothing to do with the major text of the article, but the headline tells you what they want you to believe. The article tells you maybe what really happened. You'll see how they'll use a picture, and they want to influence your attitude towards an individual. They'll take a horrible picture of him. If they want you to like the individual, it'll be a good picture, and very often it'll be juxtaposed right next to an article that has an entirely different message. So they'll have a picture that has nothing to do with anything at all, but you associate them in your minds. And that's how they control your reality. Would that be a fair statement, Philip?
Yes, that would be very much true, especially in the case of 9/11 with the footage of the Palestinian demonstrators. Basically, they basically used that footage to act as a global sign, basically to announce, "Behold, here's the face of the enemy." And when you couple that with an intertextual reference that Ron and Sanya made earlier in the report with Katie Couric and several of the other top NBC journalists, he made an intertextual reference towards Independence Day. He equated the entire 9/11 Twin Towers attack with famous scenes from Independence Day.
And that is, of course, when the spaceship is attacking the White House and it's crumbling just like the Twin Towers.
Absolutely. And basically, through that intertextual reference, now I don't mean to assert that he intentionally made that intertextual reference, but with that intertextual reference operating in conjunction with the footage that they very unethically juxtaposed with several other pieces of footage from the 9/11 attacks, they were able to basically create a narrative paradigm for the events of 9/11 that more more synchronized with the objectives of the elite, with the objectives of the Western elite in particular, and that is for imperialistic Western expansion into Iraq, into Afghanistan, into the world abroad.
Well, of course, you have to get the American people behind the war. And you've got to have atrocity stories, and you have to have all sorts of stories that will tear at the hearts of the people and actually give them the feeling that when we go over and we attack Iraq, we're really protecting ourselves from the terrorists coming over here. The trouble was there weren't any terrorists in Iraq until we attacked and destroyed the army and destroyed the police force and destroyed the infrastructure of the society and began killing people. And when, of course, whenever there's a war, people are going to die. But as it drags on and on, you get more and more anger and frustration and bitterness. And besides that, somebody's got to be funding the terrorists over there. Who's putting up the money for it? And nobody ever wants to ask, who's putting up the money?
Well, in many cases, the power elite themselves have proven to be the financiers of the several radical terrorist organizations throughout the world. In many instances, they've been creations of the intelligence agency. They're a result of blowback because of the CIA or some other agency in the intelligence community, basically fomenting revolution in other countries and funding counterinsurgencies in other nations. So essentially, it's always blowback, and nine times out of ten, the blowback, while it's considered an unintended consequence of covert actions and American intervention. It tends to nonetheless aid the power elite, particularly the power elite here in the West, by providing them with a readily exploitable threat.
And you have to have a threat to get the American people to be willing to go to war. They have to perceive that we have an enemy, and they're fighting the enemy, and as we're told, isn't it far better to fight the enemy on the streets of Baghdad than the streets of New York? The trouble is, if there really is a threat to America, how come it's been almost 4 years and there's not been one major attack on the United States? Our borders are open. We have no defense on our planes. They've kept the pilots from very effectively from being armed. The government has done everything they could to block the arming of the pilots, despite the fact Congress has voted to allow that. They do not have marshals on most of our planes. We have no protection against surface-to-air missiles for our airliners. So if there's really a terrorist threat, why hasn't it been at least one terrorist who has been willing to strap some explosives on their body and go into a restaurant like they do over in Israel? Or maybe, just maybe, this whole threat is really contrived. In fact, so many of the recent arrests by the FBI have been sting operations where people were not planning on doing anything but were talked into it, and as soon as the Arabs foolishly agreed after being encouraged, why, of course, then they were immediately arrested. If there's really a terrorist threat, why do we have to carry out sting operations?
Well, basically, if the terrorist threat were genuine, or at least was something that they had intended to stop, most of the time, when our law enforcement agencies and intelligence community want to stop something from happening, we have the resources to do so. We have keyhole satellites, we have surveillance, electronic surveillance, email surveillance, so many resources at our fingertips. And so when somebody tells you that we had no idea whatsoever that this terrorist organization could have even conceived such a plot in advance, that's just not true. The fact is that there's always foreknowledge, that there's always been some sort of surveillance available, some sort of information available. And in the case of 9/11, with 9/11, not only did you have basically a terrorist threat that was foreknowledge was gathered on and already already being gathered, but you also have several precursors to it in terms of the media, particularly films, Independence Day and Starship Troopers films that prepared a semiotic paradigm for the event.
I know what you're saying is that they were preparing the minds of the American people for something to happen. Do you think it was done intentionally, or do you think it was perhaps the spiritual element that was influencing the people to begin to condition the minds of the American people? Because there really are two worlds. There's one, the materialistic world we live in, and then the other is the spirit world inhabited by a dark and demonic forces that many times can influence people and their thought process.
Well, it's actually both. Okay, for instance, with the two science fiction films that I've mentioned, science fiction for the large part is largely an innocuous form of entertainment. It's a form of entertainment that really, you know, people just go to the films to escape from their day-to-day tedium. But many of the sci-fi films and sci-fi literature, many of the people who create that are actually practitioners of some occult tradition. For instance, George Lucas adheres to a monistic, a kind of an amalgam of New Age beliefs and monistic beliefs. Body forth, for instance, in the Force that he presents in Star Wars, and another individual that comes to mind is Arthur C. Clarke, who presents kind of a Darwinian a mixture of Darwinism and also New Age beliefs.
Well, I think that people must, if you analyze Star Wars, it is all New Age and occultic. And this basic theme, if you just use your mind, you can actually force things to change. And by, you remember when the second of the film's original series, why Luke Skywalker was using his mind, and he eventually learned how, with using his mind, to get the spaceship to rise off the ground or out of the muck or choir or swamp it was in. And once you, of course, came to be in tune with the Force, then through your mind you could manipulate reality. And of course, that is the basic belief of people who are into the occult today. And George Lucas is pushing that, the idea of the two sides of the Force fighting, but they are all part of this same supernatural world. They're not the God of the Bible at all. It's like the black and white witches or the black and white Satanists, or call them what you will, the two sides of the Force, but it's all tapping into the supernatural.
Absolutely. And in the case of 9/11, there were several films that actually prepared us for a change that was supposed to occur in 2001. In 2001, A Space Odyssey, which was Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke's film, it basically presented a semiotic signpost for the next step in what they believed to be humanity's evolutionary ascent. Come 2001, they present the famous monolith, which is essentially a dark block kind of stone that essentially pushes forward, acts as the evolutionary battery for man's development. And lo and behold, in the actual year 2001, a monolith, a replica of the monolith, showed up on the lawn of Magnuson Park in Seattle, Washington. And so basically what you have here is a semiotic signpost to another step in man's supposed evolution.
Go right ahead. We're just going to have to take a break here. When we get back, we're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Understand that everything, so much of what's going on today, is laid up in signs and symbols like the emblem on the back of your dollar bill that tells you what the future holds.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and my goodness, the board's already lit up. Let's go to Mike calling from Rochester, New York. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Good. How about you?
Doing no complaints at all.
Good. I'd like to ask you and your guest, it's ironic. I was watching The Patriot last night. I bought a DVD.
Right.
And in the very beginning of the show, Mel Gibson, he's weighing a rocking chair, and he says, 9 pounds, 11 ounces, perfect, perfect. Chills went down my spine. I have heard that they often put, you know, these little nuggets in these movies to communicate, you know, things about what they're doing or what's coming up ahead down the road as far as their plans. And the show went on about Gibson, the character in the show. His wife died, and that took us to her cemetery. And on her tombstone was a northern star with, you know, light radiating out of it. And to me, that looked like a lot of the symbolism what you see with the CIA emblem. I thought, you know, this is just a cult stuff embedded in these movies. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, essentially, yes, there is a great deal of occult symbology embedded in films. For instance, to take it back to what we were discussing with 9/11, Independence Day, which acted as an intertextual reference for the events of 9/11, which Ron and Sanya made an intertextual reference to. Independence Day was replete with globalist rhetoric. The plot inconsistencies of the film betrayed its own globalist agenda. The title denotes a struggle for freedom against some entrenched oppressor. However, the aliens in the film were not intent upon subjugation. They were bent on genocide. Thus, the connotative meaning of the film's title suggests a reconceptualizing of America, much as what you're experiencing now, much of what we're seeing right now, which made her conform to more of a globalist framework of world government. And so Independence Day's role in the semiotic deception of the masses reached its nadir in 9/11 when Ron and Sanya made the intertextual reference to it, because suddenly imposed upon the events of 9/11 was the paradigmatic template of good Americans versus evil Arabs being analogous to aliens, and B, the notion of America no longer being just a sovereign nation state, but becoming an empire which would eventually fold into a one world socialist totalitarian state. And that's essentially what you have semiotic intimations of in Independence Day, and what the film was designed to do was create a cultural milieu that would be hospitable to that eventuality in the future, which is precisely what we see taking shape today.
Okay, Mike, I think that they use the motion pictures for the impact on our minds. Anything else you want to say?
Agreed. So it's much like conditioning then.
They know exactly what they're doing. They spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars learning how with symbols and with motion pictures and education to control the minds of the people. It's another Tavis Talk, and we'll be doing some programs on that with Stephen Jacobson's going to be doing some new programs on mind control real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you much.
And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Rockville, Maryland. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's nice to hear you. I missed the first part of your show, but this is a fascinating topic. And are we just talking about just occult references in general, or just how it pertains to 9/11 or
Well, we're really talking the overview of this, because certainly there are cult references in 9/11 and the things that led up to that, and the way our minds were conditioned, and the way pretty soon as you were watching the screen on television, suddenly you'd hear the music swell in the background, and I'm waiting and I'm watching, and I'm suddenly realizing this thing is being staged for the emotional impact on the American people. And then remember, on Friday or Saturday we had the great stars, all the stars were there, and we had Willie Nelson singing all the verses of America the Beautiful over and over and over and over again, and it was a star-spangled extravaganza of Hollywood stars celebrating. What were they celebrating? Anyway, we're being manipulated all the time, and when you realize that, things begin to make sense. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I had one movie in particular I wanted to mention that was especially chilling. Are we going for a break now?
We are, but you're welcome to stay on. We'll be glad to get you when we get back.
Yes, okay. If I may. I think your audience will find this interesting.
All right, fine. And we'll be back in just a moment here.
Thanks.
I guess this afternoon is Philip Collins and, of course, his website. Philip, what's your website? Why don't you give that up?
Okie dokie. The website is www.conspiracyarchive.com/commentary/collins.php.
All right, that gets pretty complicated. That's www.conspiracyarchive.com. We'll get it run as soon as we get back here.
The Anglo-American establishment It gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Philip Collins, and he has written extensively in Paranoia magazine. Of course, you're only really paranoid if you imagine people are against you. If they really are against you, if there really is a plan to impoverish the American people, to involve us in a war in the Middle East, to transfer our wealth and our factories to other countries, to destroy the moral fabric of our society, if there really is a plan to do that, you're not paranoid. You are realistic, and you've recognized what's going on. We've got Mike calling from Rockville, Maryland, and let me put our telephone number out again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Mike, did you have another comment to make or question for our guest?
Yeah, please. Yeah. There's one movie, 12 Monkeys, that talks about where the main character tries to stop somebody from distributing vials of disease throughout the world. But the one I want to talk about is Fight Club, and that's particularly disturbing because at the very end, there's a main character, and he has an alter ego that the guy thinks is his friend, but it's really his imagination, and he prompts him to do these horrific things, and they form this terror group that's bent on the destruction of the United States, and through subterfuge and various means. At the very end, it's particularly disturbing because they're looking out at this panorama of the New York City skyscape, and you see these building after building going down with controlled demolitions. That movie came out in 1999.
Okay, well, there really are people who want to destroy that America. They want. That's why they don't try to stop the immigration. They know what they're doing. That's why they reward the immigrants for coming in with free medical care and free schooling and, you know, free health, all of the things that they give them. If I was living in Mexico, I'd come across the border to get to America with all the freebies we have here for them and an opportunity for a better living. But, of course, in the process, we are going to destroy America, and that's what they want, a multicultural society so they can play one group against the other. They want to impoverish our people, create strife, and out of that strife will come ever more control. So you're absolutely right. There is an organized effort to do this, and they're playing games with our minds.
One of the things that I noticed about the saboteurs in Fight Club was this virulently anti-industrial paradigm, this very anti-industrial mentality about them.
It's anti-materialistic too.
Yeah, which kind of synchronizes well with doctrines such as the changing images of man, which was a precursor to Marilyn Ferguson's aquarian conspiracy.
This was a book that Marilyn Ferguson wrote in 1980, talking about this vast network of New Agers across America, millions of them intent upon changing the structure of our society. Go ahead, Philip.
Absolutely. And with Fight Club, you have, with the fictional group in that, you have essentially a kind of a composite of the counterculture. You have this very postmodern moral relativistic doctrine that's being promulgated and circulated within the group. You also have this almost neo-Malthusian disdain for infrastructure and technology and industry that can basically enhance and better the human condition. And so essentially they turn back the clock, so to speak. They basically destroy any means of man technologically circumventing evolution.
I think that what people must understand when Philip talks about neo-Malthusian, Thomas Malthus lived back the end of the 1700s, and in 1826 he wrote an essay called The Essay on Population. And basically he said, we got too many people in the world today. We got to cut back on the number of people, or we're going to have to start building our cities next to stagnant ponds, encourage the spread of disease, and certainly do everything we can to discourage people from trying to stop the spread of plagues. He really wanted to kill off a large part of the world's population, and the ideas of Malthus were carried forward by Dalton, and then, of course, to Margaret Sanger and to Adolf Hitler, both who were deeply involved with the occult and disciples of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who created Theosophy. And these ideas are here today among some of our leading and most powerful people in the world today. And anybody who doubts that only needs to read the report that came out of the most important meeting of the last century. It was called the Second Earth Summit. It was held in Rio in 1992. And the reason you haven't heard about it is you weren't supposed to. It was all planned by Prince Charles on the Royal Prince Britannia back in early part of 1992, and Al Gore was there, and John Kerry was there, and the financial leaders of the world were there, and the banking people were there, and they laid out this plan, and you can read it in the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is basically an effort to destroy the industrial structure of mankind and return us to the way it was before the wicked white man came, as it was when the noble Indians ranged the plains. And you say, that's crazy talk. And I would say it is too. Only there are people of great wealth who believe that because they worship a different God. They have a different worldview. Have you run into this, Philip?
Absolutely. And in fact, see, that's what one of the characters in Fight Club says. The character of Tyler Dearden, which is the central character's alter ego, says that he proposes a plan of basically tearing down infrastructure so that the evolutionary chips can fall where they may, so to speak. And basically that's what the power elite believes. That's what was the doctrine of Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, all of which adhered to several variants of Darwinism, which basically held that technology and infrastructural growth was somehow retarding man's evolutionary development, because it allowed us to take care of and help what eugenicists call dysgenics, which they consider are people who are feeble-minded, who are evolutionarily retrogressed, who should have been taken out by the checks and balances of natural selection many years ago. And that's essentially what's proposed in the film Fight Club by this character.
But of course, this is simply, although this is a movie, there really are people who feel that way today. And what is most frightening is some of these are the most powerful and influential and wealthy people in the world today.
Absolutely.
And anybody who doubts that needs to read the Global Biodiversity Assessment, or we have a summary of that, taken from the 1,142-page report that came out of the Second Earth Summit. It's in our Sustainable Development syllabus. If you haven't read it, you need to read it, and then purchase for $65 at your local library, or get it out of the library, the Global Biodiversity Assessment. You'll know where to look, and you'll be amazed to find that some of the most powerful people in the world today are embracing the very concepts laid forward in this motion picture.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier Al Gore. And what a lot of people don't realize is that in his book, Earth in the Balance, he basically mentions how trees, there was some element, and I forget what the name of the element was, that was discovered in trees that could basically be used for the treatment of cancer. But Al Gore says, well, would sacrificing a tree for a human life prove to be worth the sacrifice? And basically, in his overall assessment, no, it wouldn't. That people are not worth more than trees. And this is the mentality that is promulgated in pop culture and films today. This is the sort of paradigm that is being semiotically communicated to us in the popular media every single day. This notion of man being inseparable from nature, and man must therefore sacrifice himself at the altar of nature.
But of course, they're quite willing to sacrifice you and me.
Absolutely.
Al Gore and Sean Kerry and the other elitists are not willing to sacrifice themselves or their children. And you must understand, there is an elite mentality, and there are people who have a different worldview. And you really need to read that, the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and of course the book entitled Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince, goes into how the meeting of the Prince of Wales business leaders meeting on the yacht Britannia, where all the business leaders of the world were there, and of course Al Gore was there, and the financiers and the bankers, and they laid out the plan to transform society. You say, why would people want to do that? Well, because they worship a different God, because they have a different worldview, and because they think that they're going to be surviving, and they only want enough of us common folks left act as servants for them. How could anybody feel this way and conceal it? Well, you control Hollywood, you control the universities, you control the foundations, you control the media, you control our churches, you control our anti-communist groups and our conservative groups and our liberal groups and our communist groups and our socialist groups and our environmental groups. You eventually control what the American people hear, what they read, and what they see, and ultimately what they believe. Mike, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, just thank you. It was a great summation. And also, Alex Jones mentioned this one movie too, Lone Gunman, where I think it was a short series where they actually talk about flying planes into buildings.
Yes, that was
to create a police state.
Yeah, that was the pilot episode, as a matter of fact, of the series. And the series was short-lived, but it was a very, very odd moment of synchronicity in there, and certainly one that suggests that that there's a little less coincidence involved in the events of 9/11 than what one would have you believe.
Well, basically, this was an offshoot of the X-Files.
Yeah.
Well, and Mulder and Kirstie were the three internet nerds or computer nerds that always were there to sort of help Mulder when he needed help. And supposedly, in this instance, they were flying a plane from Europe back to the United States, and some wicked people from some intelligence agency had taken over controls of the plane, so the pilot couldn't manage the plane, and the controls were flying them directly toward the Twin Towers. Now, this came out 6 months before the attack, and just at the very last minute, of course, as the heroes finally figure out how to decommission the computers, they take control, and the plane just soars over the top of the Twin Towers. And you know, that is a wonderful story, but it's never shown again after 9/11. I wonder why.
Oh, yeah, gee, well, I mean, it's just a little bit too close to the actual events.
Actually, we have pictures that came out of FEMA training manuals that show, terrorism, and they show pictures of the Twin Towers, and there's the crosshairs of a sniper scope on the Twin Towers. And of course, we have actually films were actually shot by the FBI back in 1989. They're in a video called Jihad in America. And here you see these people, a man named Abdul Azam, I believe it was, and he is the head of Al-Qaeda, 1988. And he's there in Oklahoma City at the mosque talking about jihad in America, and either that year or the following year, they're talking about taking down the towers of America's financial prominence in the world. They have pictures of the terrorists who blew up the World Trade Center in 1993. These pictures are taken in 1989 of them training up there in upstate New York. They knew all about these people. That video was suppressed in America, shown only one time in 1994, and somebody gave orders it was never to be shown again. We have that. It took me almost a year to make this available, too. It's called Jihad in America, and you'll hear the FBI agents back in 1993 talking about the Islamic terrorist threat right here in the United States. But the most amazing thing is that by 2001, why we had no idea that an attack was coming. If you believe that, why you believe anything? And incidentally, that video is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Go ahead there, Philip. We've got a few more minutes.
Oh, certainly. Another film that people should probably check out and see what message is being communicated through it. I mentioned Starship Troopers. And essentially, in Starship Troopers, the basic premise of the entire film is that the sovereign state and the politics of the sovereign state are entirely contingent upon an external threat. Again, as was the case with Independence Day, the external threat is bodied forth by fictional aliens, computer-generated aliens. But the premise bears ominous resemblance to the basic overall contentions of Brzezinski's The Grand Chessboard. And in The Grand Chessboard, Brzezinski pretty much forthrightly states that the consensus of American geopolitics depends on an external threat.
And the American people will not rally behind the government in a change in foreign policy unless there is a perceived external threat, was his exact word, and perceived external threat.
Absolutely.
And now, of course, we perceive that there's an external threat. That's why we have to fight the terrorists on the streets of Baghdad so they won't be here, on the streets in California.
Absolutely. And again, the aliens being basically aliens, that paradigmatic template being imposed upon the events of 9/11 makes the Arab peoples in general, the Arab nations, analogous in the American mind to nothing more than aliens.
But of course, we're doing the same thing with the Arabs. I mean, we show pictures all over the world of mistreatment there at the Guantanamo base. Why would we allow anybody to go in there and take pictures if we were going to have these people there in chains, with head blinders on and earmuffs on so they have no access to sight or sound? Why would we allow pictures to be taken and shown throughout the entire world unless you wanted to inflame the Arab world? Why would you possibly release those pictures from Abu Ghraib and allow them to be circulated all over the world unless you wanted to create the best enemies that television could buy?
Absolutely. And also it helps to further dehumanize the other side. It helps to to basically rob them of their humanity and the psyche, the collective mind of the American people. And again, when you basically present these paradigmatic templates in fiction and in science fiction as reality, as was done during 9/11 and during the early news media reports of 9/11, it basically creates an opposition or a binary opposition paradigm where it's evil against good or good against evil, and in this instance, the Arabs are the ones who happen to be the evil adversaries, and America is the good guy.
It used to be the Japanese, and then it was the Germans, and then it was the communists, and now it's the Arabs. And remember, everything you see on television or everything you hear on the radio is indelibly implanted in your mind. And we hear it often enough, it soon becomes a reality. They know how to manipulate us. It's time we understood that and of course, took back control of our minds. Philip, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking about thought control. We've got a great four-tape set on mind control and how it is done. We have actually a CDC. It's got 18,000 suppressed files, CIA files on mind control. The CIA spent literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, learning how to control your reality. And these are files which are released under the Freedom of Information Act, and they are available. One CD has got all these files, 18,000 pages, I think it is. We have a wonderful book written by a Dr. Colin Ross, who's a psychiatrist, who actually has read through all these 18,000 pages. And he wrote a book called Operation Bluebird. Operation Bluebird was a government program to create mental illness in innocent and helpless people. An amazing, amazing story which every American should know about. They actually took these people and they did the experiments. They created dissociated personalities. Bluebird by Dr. Colin Ross is really must reading. And then, of course, we have the CIA long-suppressed reports. The CIA destroyed all of their records. You see, there are some evil and wicked people who really have this different worldview we talk about so often. They see nothing wrong with what the Nazis did. That's why certain people within the CIA actually helped 10,000 Nazis escape to South America under the rat line, and it was part of Operation Paperclip. And that's how Martin Bormann got away, and Klaus Barbie, and Mengele. And, well, we cover that in our four-tape set, Operation Paperclip. You have to understand, and you have to understand that there is a dark side to our government. There has been two points to our government. One has been the Christian, the wholesome, the worthwhile, and then there's always been the dark side that's been here in this eternal battle between good and evil. Well, if you want to know about the dark side, you need to get the CIA reports. This is basically based upon the church hearings that were held, Senate hearings held in 1977. The CIA tried to actually destroy all of their records of all of the terrible experiments and human experiments and all the people that killed. And, of course, somebody saved the records, and they got a Freedom of Information Act request. They released it, and that became the basis of the church hearings. So you can get so much of this information in the MK Ultra reports, which are available from Radio Liberty. We have another great report. We call it the Rockefeller Report. It's rather inexpensive. And, of course, it came out of the Veterans Administration about all of the terrible experiments they've done on American citizens. If you want to know how they've destroyed the health of literally hundreds of thousands of the Gulf War veterans, you need to get the book Vaccine A, or the four-tape set we have on Vaccine A, the experimental vaccine they gave to our American servicemen during the first Gulf War that's destroyed the lives of hundreds of thousands of them. And if you doubt that's true, we actually have the report that came out of the Veterans Administration. All of the other committees they ever had were fixed. They put people on them who would not tell the truth. But in last year, in September of last year, there was an honest report that came out, and we have it. We can actually provide you the pages that show that in some of our units that went over there, over 50%, 60%, 65% of the people are ill, and of course they'll never be the same again. And if you'd like to get into background, of course, the four-tape set, Vaccine A, or the book Vaccine A, part and parcel of the story. We don't have all of the story. You need to get our four-tape set on depleted uranium. You need to understand what they're doing to our children, how they're using vaccines. They've destroyed the lives of almost an entire generation of our children. Our kids, when they graduate from high school, cannot compete with the children throughout the rest of the world. One in 166 children is now autistic. And they know what it is, but they don't want you to know. Get our four-tape set on autism, our four-tape set on mercury, our four-tape sets on fluoride, our four-tape set on aspartame. If you're concerned about the obesity epidemic, they know what it is. They just don't want you to know that they're poisoning our children. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927? There really are wicked people out there. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Thank you.